from the Star Rentals Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, kids, there we go. Softy and Dick filling in for Ian Furness, who is on the road in Philadelphia. He'll have the call of the Kraken Flyers coming up 4 o'clock today right here on 950 KJR. Headlines in the meantime are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
No, come on, man. Oh, my God.
Looking for tickets for the next Seahawks home game? That'd be Monday night, a week from tonight against Jameis and the Saints. VenueKings.com can get you taken care of. Nick Rolovich, how about this? The deadline to be vaccinated has come and gone. For Coach Rolo, Jason Puckett reporting today that Pat Chun, the Wazoo AD, will hold a meeting with players at 5:30 tonight to discuss the future of Cougar head coach Nick Rolovich.
Another Jason has a report. Jason Lockenfora reporting that the Hawks game against Arizona in Week 11 is the, quote, first real opportunity for Russell Wilson to get back to the Seahawks.
Huskies 2-4 after a loss to UCLA. Jimmy Lake saying he is nowhere near a quarterback change. We'll hear from Jimmy, by the way, coming up later on today. At what time again, Jackson?
We're going to hear from him, I think, at about 3:15.
3:15 or so. You'll hear a little bit from Jimmy Lake this afternoon.
Rory McIlroy grabs his 20th PGA Tour title, taking home this CJ Cup by one shot over Colin Morikawa.
And Pete Carroll today saying the Seahawks have had conversations with free agent quarterback Cam Newton. No word on yet where those conversations have gone. Mike Sando will be able to talk about that in a matter of minutes. I assume you're not a fan of bringing in Cam Newton to play quarterback for the Seahawks. Is that right?
Who, me?
No, the guy behind you.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Mike.
No, I'm talking to you. Is Mike here?
Oh, I don't know. Mike is coming. Oh, 210.
7 minutes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They do things differently in the midday show than we do.
Really? Yeah, I guess so. Absolutely, positively not.
Well, the only way you bring him in is if he's going to be your starting quarterback.
Of course. And if Russell Wilson was... You could kind of, sort of, maybe convince me. If Russell Wilson was out for the entire season, then you might be able to convince me. But how would Cam Newton, never to have played in this system before, be a better option than Geno Smith, who's been here for years and years?
I would not want Cam Newton even in that situation. Because if Russell Wilson's out for the year, then I'm tanking the whole thing the rest of the way. I'm giving up on it. I mean, there's no point. If Russell, the only thing keeping hope alive is use the word hope for the Saint Jaguar game. The only thing keeping hope alive is that Russell Wilson is going to play at some point in time this year. If that becomes not the case, then forget about it.
That's right.
We're going 2-13 or whatever, 2-15, I guess it would be. And we're getting that high second round draft pick because the Jets are going to end up with your pick. Seahawks will end up with a top five pick in the NFL draft if Russell Wilson can't play the rest of the year, and the Jets will get it. But you still will have a fairly high draft pick at the top of the second round and at top of the third round. So if he's not playing, then the hell with it in 2021. We're talking about doing something else. And, you know, look, man, we talked about all these plays with Hugh when he was on the air with us, and the screenplay to Freddie Swain that they ran late in the game when Gerald Everett missed the block. Last night, I'm hearing Chris Collinsworth on TV say the minute he saw Pittsburgh in zone, he knew that play was going nowhere at all. And I'm starting to think and wonder if we're seeing some real rookie lumps out of Shane Waldron here as the offensive coordinator. Because you remember after the Hawks beat the Colts in Week 1, everybody said, oh man, what a great debut, right, for Shane Waldron. And that sheen is off the shine for sure. It's gone after the first week of the year. I mean, you're talking about play calls that don't make any sense, running when they should be passing when they should be running. And I don't want to hear, by the way, about what Mike Tomlin said about Pittsburgh going into some kind of pass defense. That's bull crap. Go back and look at the first drive of the third quarter. Go back and look at early in the fourth quarter. The Hawks were running the ball effectively against a 7-8-man box consistently in the second half.
I go back to those stats again that I threw out an hour ago. 9 passes out of 9 plays in the second quarter got you 10 yards. 5 rushes total for 18 yards in the first half. Finally, they established something in the second half, but it took them till 14-0 down in the second half to do that. Now, yeah, we got to put most of the onus on Shane Waldron, but how much of the onus is on Geno Smith being able to walk up to the line of scrimmage, being able to analyze the defense and being able to check out of plays the way Russell Wilson does.
That's part of the reason why he's a backup quarterback. That's it. I mean, honestly, right? I mean, this whole next man up thing is crap, right? There's a reason why Russell Wilson's making $35 million a year and Geno's making $1 million because he's a backup quarterback. So that's part of why Russell makes $35 million to get up and check out of that and do something else. So that's why, look, I mean, if Geno Smith ended up being your starting quarterback and he was named the starter in training camp, like let's say Russell forces his way out over the summer and he's playing for the Bears next year or whoever, the Falcons, whatever, and Geno's your guy. Different story if you're going to rely on him to be your starting quarterback, but Geno Smith still is what the Seahawks wanted him to be when the year began. He's your backup quarterback who has now become your starting quarterback. So that's why plays like that, like the Gerald Everett miss block on that play, can't happen. Jamal Adams dropping that ball, can't happen. DJ Dallas missing a chip, cannot happen. DK Metcalf not getting out of bounds when they maybe cost themselves a shot at maybe one or two more plays at winning the game in the fourth quarter. Things like that can't happen. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll feel differently, Dick, after a couple of games. But right now, I just got a hard time putting any of this on a backup quarterback who had not started for 6 years.
And you mentioned, and you're right, and it, even though I threw out the fact that he had turned the ball over in crucial situations each of the last two games.
Yes, he did.
The bottom line is he played well enough to win that football game. 15 of 18, 154 in the second half and a touchdown. I mean, that's well above 100 passer rating.
Right.
And that is good enough to win the football game. He wasn't able to move the ball in the first half, however, at all.
No.
9 passes for 10 total yards in the second quarter.
Right.
That's on him as well, but that's why you have to dumb it down, pare it down, run the ball, get 100 yards from your running back like they did, most of it being in the second half. You got to do the same thing next week, and hopefully Alex Collins is healthy enough to do it next week.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, I thought Travis Homer played well. I thought DJ Dallas, for the most part, played okay. But again, I mean, if Alex Collins can't go, then you're talking about signing somebody, right?
You are.
And who knows how big of an impact that guy's going to have in 8 freaking days before the game. Let's get to Mike Sando right now.
Live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR, this is our weekly conversation with Mike Sando from The Athletic, brought to you by Cascade Ice. New from Cascade Ice, caffeinated sparkling water. A kick of caffeine without sugar, calories, or carbs. Now, Mike Sando on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
You know, I know our friend Mike Sando has been coming on with Ian Furness every Monday at 2:10, saying, you know what, talking to Ian is great, but talking to Softy and Dick would be so much better. And we are now here to oblige. We are now here to acquiesce to that request. Mike Sando from The Athletic with us on the air. How are you, man?
Good. Hey, leave my boy Ian alone, okay?
Yeah,
this is what I've been dreaming about my whole career. Good to be here.
Hey, it's okay to admit it. You know, there's nothing wrong with goals, my friend. Well, let's first of all talk about yesterday's game. You know, Dick and I have discussed it ad nauseum. You know, valiant effort, right? In a lot of ways, getting back from 14 down, but nevertheless, the Hawks wake up and find themselves in a big, big hole at 2-4.
They really do. You know, I felt like they needed to get 2 out of 3 here when Wilson's out, you know, assuming he's back after the bye for the Green Bay game. And that was a prime opportunity because the Steelers are limited offensively. I think the Seahawks played with some fire and some juice, especially, you know, after the slow start. So there were some encouraging things. You could see how, okay, they might be able to win a few games with their backup quarterback, but then you see in some of those critical situations that you really do miss Russell Wilson. You know, I mean, he is just such a special guy in those situations, right? I mean, he could have gotten sacked and fumbled the ball, but more likely he squirts out of there and finds somebody for the first down and they win the game, you know, and that's the line in the NFL, right? That's why the guys make the big money. So they've got to really beat the Saints this week, and that are kind of, you know, up and down team. Unfortunately for them, has had a bye, but I think if you lose to Minnesota and to New Orleans, you're starting to make it really hard for after Russell comes back if you want to make a run for that, you know, maybe that's last spot in the NFC.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you got to get 2-0 in these last two, and how reasonable is that? I threw a poll question out a few hours ago. How realistic a chance do they have going 2-0 in the next? And it was basically, Mike, split down the middle. It's 51-49, yes. Yeah. How do you answer that question?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. You know, I mean, I would feel pretty confident they're going to win one of them. I think there's going to be a close game in there, maybe the Saint game. The Saints are, you know, have been up and down. I mean, I think defensively they're pretty good. So Do they make Seattle kind of work for it, right? And I don't think the Seahawks are going to go out there and score 30 points. Mm-hmm. So if they're scoring in this same sort of range where you're around 20 points against most teams, that's going to be a fantastic finish, right? And someone's going to be on the wrong side of it, and there's a great chance it's you. If you don't have a differentiating offense yourself.
I guess the issue is, when exactly is Russell coming back? Because there's been this assumption that it's going to be three games, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Jacksonville, then the bye, then back for the Packer game. Your counterpart at CBS, Jason Lacanfora, is reporting that he's coming back for the Cardinal game, which would be four games total and not three. So that changes the equation a little bit. I still think if you can go 2-2 in those four and find yourself 4-5, you're giving yourself a shot. But then, Mike, I kind of just hearken back to where they were in the Ram game when, even before Russell Wilson got hurt, they had 7 points in the third quarter against the Rams with Russell. So how good is this team even with Russell Wilson?
I just think they've really been up and down. You know, and I think that's been true for them in other seasons. And I think usually, like last season, Russell Wilson, the offense, they do enough to have a good record anyway. I think it's not a stretch to say that if he doesn't get hurt, they maybe win the Ram and the Steeler game. Do you agree that they close that out?
I think they win.
I mean, it might have been a little tough.
I think they win last night. I don't think they win the other.
You don't think so? You don't think that? Yeah, okay. That's fair. So they lose that game.
But then you're 3-3. That's a big difference.
Yeah, right. I think my thought on them before the season was, flaws and all, he plays the whole season. They sort of figure out enough things, and then he wins enough of the games along the way that they're at least, you know, close to the division. Well, that ain't going to do it. That ain't happening. And the other two teams in the division are hot and winning and really have games they should win. You know, the Rams are playing the Lions this week, right? So, you know, I think the expectations are totally reset. I think it's going to be very interesting how they get through that stretch of Green Bay, Arizona. Do you think they're going to win both those games? You know, I don't. I think Arizona's a tough out for them anyway, right? Even before Arizona's this hot team. So I'm with you. I think we're in for some drama down the second half of the season. I think we're in for drama at the end of the season, because you certainly can't say that this team looks like they're going to be in a championship game, right? They look like they might claw into the playoffs and then be lucky to win a game in the playoffs, right? Even though it's a long time, you can get better and all that. We can't even count on Wilson being in there. That's the one thing that was guaranteed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Best case scenario, you sneak into that 7 spot at 10-7 or winning tiebreakers at 9-8. I think Mike Sando joining us as he joins Ian every week at this time. Pete Carroll admitted that he talked to Cam Newton. Is this a good idea, and how serious do you think those talks are, Mike?
I think it's complicated because, you know, if you bring in Cam Newton, like if they brought him in now, I don't. Do you bring him? Would he even want to come in as the backup to Geno until Geno plays good or bad, and then Russell comes back? That seems weird.
Apparently, he said he would do it as a backup.
If you bring him in and name him the starter, I mean, I think there's just weird dynamics, because it's not like Russell's out for the whole year, and so it's interesting they're doing it to me. Like, interesting, they're sort of putting it out there a little bit, or confirming. Is the next step that, let's just say Geno Smith has a bad game or gets a little banged up against the Saints, you sign him?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just Cam Newton is not, even if his level of play is kind of a backup right now, he's still Cam Newton.
Right.
He still has had more commercials than Russell's had.
Wow.
I think it's an interesting dynamic.
That would be a huge reason to sign him, I think, because he's got more commercials than
But you know what I mean. He's a name. He's a big star name. And he has a footprint in a locker room. And he has excitement. And he can – you know what I mean? It's just that's a complicated thing with your starter right there, to me. Especially with the dynamics that have already been going on, right? The whole off season, what's the future hold? Is Russell happy? All that stuff. And then you bring in somebody who is a big name. You know what I mean? Even though he's not a threat to Russell Wilson, it's just a weirdness thing to
me. Well, apparently, and Puckett brought this to our attention, I guess Sierra dated Cam Newton back in the day. So
really,
yeah, I don't know if that would be
that would
be something
that'd be a no-go potentially then for the Hawks.
Those are just like, what's your goal in doing it? I mean,
my goal in dating Cam Newton?
Yeah, well, no. Yeah.
My goal in
what would be the goal in bringing him in right now? You know what I mean? I understand talking to him. I think you do have to be ready to bring him in. If Geno Smith gets injured or plays really bad this week, let's just say he throws two fourth quarter picks this week, and now they've lost three games in a row where he turned it over late in the game, right?
Yep.
Maybe you do that, but it's still just an interesting dynamic. Then do you cut Geno when Russell comes back? Is Cam Newton your backup? Are they going to be sitting over there together on the sideline looking through the pictures, you know, looking on their surface?
Yeah.
Because that backup job is a different job. You know what I mean? And maybe I may just be overthinking it. Just do it. But I think those are all things that people think about, right? I do.
Got it. Mike Sando with us. Before you go, do you think privately the Seahawks behind closed doors, and maybe even more privately than that, maybe like between Pete Carroll's ears when he goes to bed at night, in his brain and in John Schneider's brain, are they regretting signing Jamal Adams?
Oh, that's a great question. I think if the usage is going to be how it is and the production and the defense isn't good, certainly it would. I think Jamal Adams is a good player, and we saw that last season, and has to be in the right positions to do it. And I feel like they haven't done that as much this year, and I'm not sure why. But yeah, if you acquire a guy at a high cost, and then don't, either because you don't play him a certain way or your defense isn't good anyway, how would you feel that that's great to have done, right? I think it certainly doesn't help him last night when the ball hits him in the stomach and another one hits him in the head. I mean, that gives all the fodder out there, right, that it was a bust and a terrible thing. I just think it's a little unfair to him because I think he is a really good football player if used properly. You have to design it around him. I don't know that that's what we're seeing.
Mike, I think we all figured going into the season, the Bucs, the Rams, the Packers, all legitimate, NFC championship contenders. Have you added the Cowboys and the Cardinals to that list yet?
Yeah, I think you have to. You know, I've always questioned kind of the makeup and structure of the Cowboys with the owner and that thing. I thought it was weird last year where you bring in the coach, talking about weird team dynamics, you bring in the offensive coach and then you got someone else calls the plays. It didn't feel right. The scheme was bad defensively for what they had. I think they've resolved a lot of that on the Cowboys, and they still have issues with Jerry Jones and all that, but I just think Dak Prescott is the right guy at the right time, and it seems like they've worked something out there. Zeke Elliott seems to be back and in a good place. The defense, you know, they've now got a playmaking defensive back. I mean, how do you not put them in that group, right? I think you have to with them, and the Cardinals, you certainly have to after yesterday. You know, I think the question with them was just going to be, all right, over the course of a whole season, does Kyler Murray hold up? You know, what about A.J. Green? What about J.J. Watt? Those are all still on the table, but I think those are sort of off to the side until it happens, right? I mean, in the meantime, what more do you want? They worked the Rams, and they went on the road to the Browns without all their important coaches, and they won the game. Big.
Huge. Yeah, big win. They're a problem, no doubt. Mike Sando, great stuff, man. Ian's back next week, so a professional broadcaster back in this chair next Monday. So enjoy it,
thanks,
all right?
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
See you, man. Mike Sando with us from The Athletic. We're going to hear from, I think, Pete Carroll and Jimmy Lake at 3 o'clock today. We got Kraken pregame at 3:30. Face-off at 4 o'clock. We got to talk some dogs, though, after what we saw Saturday versus UCLA coming up on Softy and Dick on 950 KJ.